This is Messenger Insight, a podcast program brought to you by Oklahoma Baptist and the Baptist Messenger.
Hey, welcome to the Insight Podcast. I'm Chris Forbes, your host. We have today a conversation with Chris Martin, social media strategist for Lifeway. He's going to help us unpack some of the complexities of social media in our discussion today. You know, since the outbreak of COVID-19, many churches have been using social media to broadcast their worship services to people and have been impressed by the number of hits they've been getting and viewers that seem to be watching their worship services. Well, Chris has some good news and some bad news. The good news is, yes, you do have access to a much wider audience than you had before, but the bad news is maybe not as many as you might be thinking. So let's talk to Chris and help kind of navigate some of this and understand more. Chris, thank you so much for joining us today.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Well, before we get into that, can you help our listeners know a little bit more about what you do there at Lifeway and any of the other work that you do?
Yeah, sure. So I've been at Lifeway since 2013. When I graduated college, I went to Lifeway straight out of college. And I've been in maybe three or four different social media related roles in my 6 years at Lifeway, almost 7 years at Lifeway now. In September, it'll be 7 years. So I've done a bunch of different things. Most recently in October 2018 to January of this year, I actually actively managed the Lifeway social media handles on Facebook and Twitter, and then managed the person who managed the Instagram. And then as of about January of this year, I stepped out of that role. I don't do active social media management on the daily now, but I do oversee the 30 to 40 social media managers who do other things at Lifeway, but as part of their job, help run a social media account. So I just try to keep us all running in the same direction and kind of try to be a scout of what social media strategies are maybe coming down that are going to be new and that we should experiment with, and maybe keeping us out of the ditches, as it were, of using poor social media strategy where we can.
Very good. Wow. You know, I've been on social media since about 2007, and you know, Sundays kind of turned into one of my favorite days because I was involved in a project called Facebook for Pastors years ago, and so I have thousands of pastors that are in my Facebook feed, and so I'm seeing just pastors, church after church. You know, never before in my life have I seen so many churches online and leveraging social media. And it's something that we kind of only aspired to in the past. And now a lot of churches are seeing the value of social media, especially when their churches aren't able to meet. They're able to provide, say, for example, Facebook Live or YouTube or some of these other channels. But another aspect of that, the social media metrics, they're not easy to understand. And so, you know, if a pastor gets on there and he says, wow, you know, our church has 150 members and we had 2,500 views, that must mean we're really, you know, reaching a lot of people. And it is true, and it's very encouraging, the numbers, but there's some realities about social media metrics that maybe pastors could benefit from. So could you help us unpack this? It's really kind of like alchemy to me. I don't really understand it all. So if you could just really make it, you know, break it real simple for me so that I can understand, I think, I know our pastors will get it.
Sure. So let me start out by saying I'm going to talk about some sort of math kind of stuff here, and I am the least mathy person I know. I cried through my high school algebra classes, and I was a straight A student except for high school math. I got B's and C's in high school math, and my dad, who's an engineer, has an engineering degree or a computer science degree, coached me through high school math through tears. I'm saying, this is pointless. I'm never going to use this in my life. Why am I doing this? So let me be the first one to say, we're going to talk a little bit of math, but even I'm not a fan. So hopefully I can make it a little easy to understand. Facebook has a number of statistics that are very confusing and seem to change by the week. And so it can be incredibly difficult to even, that's what part of what keeps me busy, quite frankly, is trying to keep up with how Facebook's the most active at kind of tinkering with their numbers and their algorithms, which often feel like alchemy, as you said. So Facebook gets the bulk of my attention and most social media managers' attention. It's also kind of the most populous social media platform. That's the other reason. But Twitter doesn't tinker with things quite as much. YouTube doesn't tinker with things quite as much. So Facebook is always kind of tinkering. I once saw a statistic that Facebook has said that at any given time, there are hundreds of versions of Facebook that people are experiencing out in the world because they're kind of experimenting and trying different things all the time. So a few of the stats, and I wrote about this in a recent Baptist Press article, so that's kind of what we're referencing here. A few of the stats that pastors may be seeing on Facebook specifically, these would apply to YouTube as well, though things are a little different, when it comes to viewing Sunday services. So if you are currently running a Sunday service or just a sermon, whether it's the sermon portion or the full service, whatever, live or via recorded video that you're just uploading to Facebook, everything I'm about to say applies. You'll see a few key stats. First, you'll see reach. On your church, if you're sharing it from your church's Facebook page, you'll see X number of people were reached by this post, 1,000, 2,000, 300, whatever. You'll also see views. View number and reach number are basically never going to be the same. Almost always, your views are going to be smaller than your reach. So I'm kind of drilling down. So the biggest number you're going to see is reach. The second biggest number you're going to see is probably views. Beyond that, you may also see engagement if you dig a little bit deeper. And then if you dig really deep into like video stats, you like kind of click and ask Facebook, can you show me the deeper stats on this video? You can actually see watch time. You can see average amount of time watched, which may discourage you. And I can explain that in a minute. But then you'll also see like total amount of time watched, like how many minutes this video was consumed in total. And so what I've seen is a lot of pastors saying effectively, wow, our video reached 3,000 people today. I've never seen so many people come into church or something like that. We've never had that many people in our church before. Or 800 people viewed our video. We usually only run 120 on Sunday morning. It is true that if Facebook says your video reached 3,000 people, that 3,000 people had the opportunity to watch that video. It is true that if 800 people viewed your video, that 800 people saw your video for 3 seconds or more with the audio on. It is not true that if 3,000 people were reached or 800 people viewed, that many people came to church. To make that equivalence is inaccurate. And I was asked to write this. So one of the pushbacks I got on the BP article, which I was kind of surprised by, but once I kind of thought about it, I understood, was a lot of folks were commenting or saying, well, attendance doesn't matter. Watching church online isn't actually going to church anyway. And my article, for what it's worth, was not written to encourage people to take attendance online. Like if pastors don't want to take attendance right now, I don't blame them. Like I wouldn't worry about that.
Right.
But the goal of my article was to say, if you're going to say X number of people came to church this weekend, let's try to get that number as close to accurate as we can. And so I don't know if you want to talk about that now. Like I kind of came up with a little equation, again, not a math guy, but I ran it by some math right. people and said, here's how I would calculate church attendance. Does this make sense? My math friends agreed. My friends at Lifeway Research who work in these kind of things all the time, they agreed. And so I tried to provide some sort of here's how you can do this as accurately as possible if you're trying to get an idea of how many people came to church this
week. Yeah, I think I would like to hear it. When you say you're not a math guy, I look at people who call themselves not a math guy as math guys, okay? So I'm really down there. But
sure,
if you could just kind of, you know, help. I liked your, I saw your, the equation or whatever you want to call it, and I found it helpful. I agree that, you know, you don't want to think of online worship as attendance in the same way as you would people sitting in your pews. But I do think that pastors want to know, where am I touching people? How many people could I really say that our church has been reaching? We all want to make an impact. We want to bring the gospel. We want to advance the gospel. So Help us understand using your equation how a pastor could estimate the number of people he's actually touching with the gospel message.
Sure. So using basic arithmetic, again, I didn't go very complicated here. I thought, okay, my understanding of Facebook statistics, how would I calculate someone attending a church service? How can we do that? So I know you can find total watch time of a Facebook video, like across everyone who viewed, what's the total number of minutes or hours that this video was viewed by people. So you can find total watch time, which is often calculated in minutes. If it's calculated in hours, you'll have to figure that out. But let's say Facebook said your video, your Sunday service, was viewed for a total of 6,400 minutes. Okay, well, you would divide that to figure out how many people watched that service in full, which we would typically consider a church attender, someone who was at church for the whole period of time. Sometimes people have to duck out or whatever. But we're just saying, okay, number of people who watched your video in its entirety. So you would divide the number of total minutes viewed by however long your video was, which let's say it's 60 minutes long, a church service, 60 minutes long. And then you multiply it. That would give you how many households, like how many viewers on average watch the whole thing. Because that's saying, okay, the video was viewed for 6,400 minutes and it's 60 minutes long. So that would give me how many times it was viewed for 60 minutes if you just did that. Well, then that would just give you the number of kind of screens that watched it for 60 minutes. But we all know that churches are full of families. Churches are full. There could be people watching a screen. There could be four or five people watching that screen, not just one. So if you divided 6,400 by 60, that would be a lower number than probably would be number of people actually sitting in your sanctuary. That would be like kind of number of family units or number of households. So then how do we figure out as accurately, and this is where it gets kind of gray, this is where it gets kind of squishy, how do we figure out as accurately as possible, not just how many households viewed, but how many people viewed? So I think that, and this is where I definitely consulted some research and math friends, as I said, what's the most accurate way to calculate household size? And we kind of figured out that figuring out the average household size or family size in your state is a good place to start. Most churches don't know the average household size in their church. Some churches surely maybe calculate that. But if assuming most churches haven't, you can actually go online and say, what's the average household, you know, Google, what's the average household size in Oklahoma? Okay, if it's 2.47, then you could multiply the number, so you take like 6,400 minutes divided by 60 minutes times that average household size in your state. So if it's 2.47 times 2.47, and that would equal the number of possible church attendees as accurately as we can who consumed the entirety of, and were in attendance for the entirety of your church service. So total watch time divided by length of video times average household size in your state, or if you can find county, that's cool. That'd be even more accurate. That would give you roughly the number of people who watched your video in full.
Well, that's good. You know, I'm not a math person. I always tell people I'm a Chris, not an Abacris. So
yes, that's a good joke. Yeah. I can use that one.
Yeah, that's right. But I think the metrics, it's important to know, you know, at least to have some feedback into understanding, because those metrics will change as you do these. I wanted to, you know, we're getting into a period now here in Oklahoma, and I believe you're in Tennessee, it's the same, where churches are starting to slowly open their doors, start to bring back people with the social distancing, protocols.
And, yeah, sure.
And so they're doing social distancing protocols. They're meeting together. But, you know, I think many churches are going to stay online, or they're going, for sure during this period, they're going to still offer their services online as well as in person, because some people just won't feel comfortable coming in yet. And then also a lot of senior adults are probably going to be the last to kind of start coming in, as they're the most vulnerable population.
Sure.
But after the dust settles on this, it's my prayer that churches will start seeing the value of social media and continuing to use it. Now, there's another aspect of social media, and I actually made a mistake when I first introduced because I talked about broadcasting our services on social media. And social media really isn't broadcasting in the sense like a radio and there's a bunch of receivers and everybody's got the receiver on is getting it. If you have your social media on, it doesn't mean you're going to get everything that's on social media. Obviously, that would wreck your brain. But we have these algorithms that control the internet, and you really have two audiences for your social media. You have the people that are watching it, and then you have the algorithms, which are what help people see your messaging. And by the way, if you ever need a proof that Al Gore invented the internet, algorithm, it's named after him, the whole internet.
Perfect. But, yeah. That's brilliant.
So if you can you help us understand how that works? Like, you know, when you're sending out a video or a post on your church's fan page or page, and say you have 300 followers, that doesn't mean all 300 are going to see it. The algorithms jump in and help, either help or hinder you. Can you? I mean, I've already asked you to do math. Now I've asked you to do algorithms.
So. Sure. No. This is figuring out how the Facebook algorithm works is one of my favorite hobbies. And by favorite, I mean most aggravating and challenging. It's like a million piece puzzle that you can never solve and that nobody gives you the box top to. Facebook. Let me see if I can summarize this in 3 minutes. I think when we were emailing before setting this up, I talked about, man, I could talk about that for an hour because it's very complicated and it changes all the time. Let me give a 1 minute history and then kind of where we are today. Back in until about 2014, 2015, if you have most churches are pages rather than profiles. So on Facebook, you have a profile, which is where you add a friend, and a page is where you go become a fan or like it, follow it, for lack of a better term. Most churches are running pages, not profiles, rightfully so. In about 2014, until about 2014, 2015, the average Facebook page reached about 80% of the people who were following it. So if you had a Facebook page just for, again, I'm not a math guy, so for ease, let's say your Facebook page had 100 people and you were reaching 80%. The average, like when you hit publish on that Facebook page, about 80 people would see that post unless you boost, like put some money behind it, advertise. So that was the case until about 2014, 2015. I think it was around spring 2015 when Facebook decided, hey, we want to make more money. And we can make more money if we reduce the amount of reach that a page gets, and which will require pages, which are often run by businesses, very lucrative businesses, that would require them to pay more money to get more reach. So they reduced that number from 80% to an average of 3 to 5%. So that same Facebook page, which used to reach 80 people out of your 100, is now reaching fewer than 10. That kind of stuff varies all over the place, but that's an average. And that's all we have to work with. So what churches are having to deal with now is Facebook is a really helpful way to keep church members connected to the church. It is not a reliable way to communicate really important messages to everyone in your church. I think every church should have a Facebook page in the same way that 20 years ago, we were saying every church should have a website, because for a lot of people, quite frankly, Facebook is the internet. So to have a Facebook page is to kind of have a website these days. But I would not let your Facebook page replace your church email list if you have one of those, or your church mailing list. It's not reliable to communicate with everyone at one time, because if you hit publish on your church's Facebook page, assume you're going to reach fewer than half of the people who have actually liked that page. Now, where algorithms get confusing is if people interact with your page a lot, that registers in Facebook's brain. Oh, because Facebook's number one goal in life, well, is to make money. And secondly, is to keep people on the platform. And to keep people on Facebook, they want people to be engaged. So if Facebook sees that, oh, you know, Jane Smith really likes First Baptist Oklahoma City's page, because she's liking that post or commenting on their post or sharing, oh, Jane Smith really likes their content. So we're going to keep giving Jane everything that that church's Facebook page posts. So when someone engages with your Facebook post, they're more likely, you know, on Sunday, they're more likely to get whatever you post on Monday or Tuesday, because Facebook kind of registers that and says, oh, Jane's happy when she engages with the church's Facebook page. So we need to give her more than we've been giving her before, because if we make her happy, she'll stay on Facebook more than if we bore her or make her mad or something like that. So that's kind of how it works. So churches should just be aware of that and always have Facebook is really helpful as an extension of in-person church ministry, but it shouldn't in any way replace in-person or other maybe more reliable forms of communication.
So if you encouraged your members to interact with their Facebook page, your Facebook page, they're more likely to see it. And isn't it true that if Jane interacts with it, then also Jane's friends who interact a lot with Jane are likely to see it? So one way that, not to trick the system, you can benefit greatly by boosting your videos and your posts, but is to have your church members, leaders interact. I mean, any kind of interaction at all, like share, comment, you know, watch the whole thing, is going to create
yep.
that and increase the reach that you have among the people. And then if Jane's friend Joe clicks through and watches that, and then Joe's going to start seeing it. And so it's kind of, yep. you know.
And basically, here's yeah. how it works. Like reach is really hard to get. So reach, if you see 3,000 people were reached by a post, that means it appeared in 3,000 timelines. That doesn't mean they actively looked at it. It just means it appeared as they were scrolling. So reach is a bigger number. Engagement is always because that's people who have liked, comment, or shared out of that reach number. So it's always going to be smaller. But if you can get people to engage, that will increase the ceiling, the reach number. So more engagement feeds reach. So that's why posting things like, not only because it's helpful, but like, hey, let us know how we can pray for you in the comments below or something like that. First, it's a really helpful, encouraging ministry for people who, you know, can't be prayed for in the church building right now or in a community group setting or some or small group or Sunday school class. But then also, if people engage, then it's more likely to appear later. There's kind of a double benefit in that way.
Yeah, the other is the frequency of what you post. I mean, if you post once a week, you know, you're not going to get as very much reach. But if you're in more posts than one a day or, you know, what we've been trying to experiment here in Oklahoma with our Facebook page is increasing the frequency of our posts so that our reach expands and that helps us reach a new audience. Well, that's now we're starting to talk shop and stuff.
Sure.
I wanted to ask you, you mentioned earlier that you focus a big lion's share of your attention goes to Facebook because it is the most populated, used at like it almost is the internet for most people. But are there other social media platforms that the average church should pay attention to? I wouldn't want them to be too distracted with, you know, there's so many out there. But are there other platforms that you see that they should at least dabble in or be involved in?
Yeah, I think most churches would be fine to ignore Twitter. Back in the day, like Twitter's my favorite social media platform. It's where I keep track of sports stuff. I'm a big baseball fan. I keep track of sports stuff, or I keep track of other kind of industries or things that I'm interested in. I follow some funny people there, you know, kind of like comedian types who just make like Twitter jokes or whatever. Facebook, I'm not as active on, but most churches and even like organizations and such, Twitter just isn't super helpful. So I wouldn't invest a ton of time in Twitter. I wouldn't worry about any of the more, I wouldn't worry about Snapchat or TikTok right now if I were a church. The second one behind Facebook that I would focus on would be Instagram for sure. Most folks, I forget, I should have had demographics pulled up on this, but whereas Facebook is going to be used primarily by the sort of like 34 to 65 demographic, Instagram's going to skew a little bit younger, where it's going to be kind of more 18 to 44, 18 to 40, So for the young adults in your church, for those who are a little bit more internet savvy, I guess you could say, I would be, if I were running a church's social media right now, I would be primarily focused on Facebook and Instagram. Really, I'd probably be giving them each 50% of my attention. And the nice thing is, I usually advise against posting the same exact thing on both platforms, like just copy pasting. Now, sometimes if social media's media managers are in a time crunch, which many are because they often wear many hats, then doing that isn't bad. But best practice, like just Instagram style is a little bit different than Facebook style, and what works on Instagram doesn't always work on Facebook and vice versa. So it's good to have a sort of strategy for each, and that's a whole other conversation, and kind of treat them independently of one another, despite the fact, just so you know, if you don't, that Facebook owns Instagram. But they each just operate differently. The levers and the things that work on one don't necessarily work on the other. So those are the two I'd focus on. I wouldn't really worry about any others right now.
Wow, we've learned so much. We probably could keep going and on and on and on, but we won't today.
Sure.
Thank you so much for your time. Once again, someone from Lifeway, resourcing churches, providing helpful, useful information. We appreciate you. We want to thank everyone else for joining us today. Chris Martin from Lifeway, social media strategist. Want to thank you for joining us. You can find more conversations like this on our podcast. Go to BaptistMessenger.com or search for Inside Podcast on wherever you search for podcasts. Thanks.
This Messenger Insight has been brought to you by the Cooperative Program and Oklahoma Baptists. To subscribe, find us on Spotify, the iTunes Store, or your preferred podcast platform. Visit us at BaptistMessenger.com today. Oklahoma Baptists, advancing the gospel together.